Ken and Lisa read your texts. Send a message to The Morning Show at 101290.
The all-new morning show on News Talk 1290 with Lisa Brandt and Ken Eastwood.
And your round table. And this morning, your round table, as always, is brought to you by Metropolitan Maintenance, voted London's best cleaning service for the fifth year in a row. Visit metromaintenance.ca. And this morning, we are very happy to welcome Robert Metz, president of the Freedom Party of Ontario, in for our round table. Good morning, Bob.
Well, good morning. Great to be here.
Thank you for coming in.
It's been a while since I've been in this room and looking at Ryan's face through the glass here.
Yeah, you're no stranger to the studio.
You're here by popular demand. Yeah. We had several people request that you come in for the round table, so.
Oh, boy, I must be in trouble.
You are in trouble because we start off with really hard questions. And I say questions because we actually had two breakfast questions of the day.
Yeah, the first one, forget
about it. It was way too easy because Ken knew the answer. What was the second breakfast question of the day?
An animated Christmas classic premiered on this date in 1965. What was it?
So I said Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
We've got the Grinch. We've got the correct answer. Alvin and the Chipmunk, someone said, too, but several got it right.
Okay.
The animated Christmas special.
Yeah.
1965.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, was that Charlie Brown's Christmas?
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh,
it was Charlie
nice.
Brown's Christmas.
Wow.
That's the right answer. Nicely done. Nice start. Thanks to everyone who texted in today. Yeah, a lot of people got that right. Charlie Brown Christmas, 1965.
Could have sworn I was going to get that one right again. Two for two in one morning would have been awesome.
That'll nice never job. Happen again because there won't be two in one morning again.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was a classic, by the way. It's a wonderful film.
It is. And where did that cliche Charlie Brown Christmas tree come from? That's special.
Absolutely it.
Yeah.
Well, good start for you, Bob, this morning. Among the things we've been focusing on this week, one of the big stories was the Auditor General's report from Ontario and just the colossal amount of waste that has plagued our provincial government. What's your perspective on that? And specifically, you know, how do you look at that as the president of the Freedom Party?
Well, waste is a constant with government. You can't get away from it because government shouldn't be in business. Government shouldn't be doing it should be the referee. It shouldn't be a player in the game. And as soon as government becomes the player, it no longer is the referee.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the big problem we're facing in Ontario today. So waste is part of the whole thing. You can't control it because there's no profit motive at play, which is what the thing that prevents waste. And so when people have their profits to consider, they don't want to waste. And yet we think, you see, the biggest mistake we've made in Ontario, business-wise, is Ontario Hydro, and then subsequently providing our electricity through government, which is not possible to do. They said they're going to provide energy at cost. Well, whenever somebody tells you you're going to provide it at cost, it will be very, very expensive. It should be provided at price. And then you have competing markets, and you have players in the game, and the government is the referee. I don't know why people think the government should be in the game, because the government's always there as the referee, so they can call the shots, so there shouldn't be anything to be afraid of in the marketplace. And we know that wherever, you know, freedom is allowed to exist, the conditions are better for everyone.
The government's being sued right now by CUPE over the sale of shares of Hydro One.
Mm-hmm.
Should Hydro One be sold off then?
It should never have been owned by the government in the first place, but I would say yes, but not for the reasons they're doing it now. Right now, everything's being done like, you know, in a fire sale kind of deal, because this government is very, very desperate for money. They're just trying to keep their head afloat.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the average person realizes how bad off we are in Ontario.
How bad off are we?
Yeah. Well, it's not going to get better for quite a while. There are so many things going on. The government is into so many things, and they cannot meet their obligations financially. Our healthcare system is deteriorating day by day. There's another issue that needs to be addressed, that we need to open up the market. We should be allowed to have private health insurance. We should have all kinds of options. And Freedom Party's stand on that is never to take anything away, to add to it, give people choice. We wouldn't take away, you know, government welfare or healthcare for those people who need it. The problem is universality as we practice it. You know, healthcare, when it was first introduced to Ontario, was introduced as an insurance plan. And OHIP, it wasn't an insurance plan, never was. You know of any insurance plan that you can buy where the first dollar is covered? Can you imagine buying your car insurance and it covers your gas and your repairs and everything?
Where do I sign up for that?
Well, exactly. You signed up for it under Ontario's healthcare system.
It's fantastic.
So what that does is it leaves no money for the people who need it. And what happens is the government prioritizes not by medical need but by what is politically expedient. And therefore, if you're in a group that there's a lot of people in, you'll get more attention than that poor one person who really needs that extra help. And that, to me, is the tragedy of our healthcare system.
How do you figure that out in a bureaucracy, though? Because, for example, hospitals are reporting that 50,000 people need knee surgery and one needs their adenoids replaced or something. You know, how does that one person make it a pie to, you know, in priority?
Well, under a government system, it's just a matter of getting permission and knowing the right people. In a free market, it would take care of itself.
Okay.
We shouldn't be sitting here worried about all the minutiae of how Ontario Hydro's run or how our streets are being cleaned. That's not our business. We just pay the bill. When I go into the grocery store, I don't ask them how much they pay their employees or what their insurance is or how much. It's just price-based. And that is how a market is supposed to function.
Well, then Hydro would be a great example of that because we look at that price and it keeps going up and up, and it's to the point for a lot of Ontarians that it's simply unaffordable. So then we start looking at reasons, well, wait a second, why is that price tag so high?
Well, believe it or not, the prices we're paying today are not because of all the turbines and things like that. That's still to come.
Mm-hmm.
What we're still paying for is nuclear. And Ontario is one of the few nuclear jurisdictions. We should never have gotten into it. This was the first issue the Freedom Party got into back in 1984. We wrote an incredible piece that said, we're in for a shock with Ontario Hydro. And Ontario Hydro was originally pushed upon us very fraudulently. They overestimated the value of the assets. They told us costs that just weren't there. And people bought into it because at first, you know, it's like a credit card. When you first crank it up, man, you feel like you're rich, right?
Yeah.
Until you reach that limit, and then you have to start paying off, and all of a sudden, you get less for more. And that's where we're at right now, and it's going to keep going that way until there's some big changes.
We're definitely paying more. I want to ask you this, Bob. Let's create a universe where in the next provincial election, you become Premier of Ontario. What is your top priority?
First of all, quit fighting climate change. Ridiculous. It's so laughable. This is an issue that I know very intimately for a long time. I've had the great pleasure of interviewing some of the world's top scientists and people in this field. And I did my own research on it. And I also know that the whole thing was started back in the 60s as a political effort after Vietnam ended up. And then the whole effort became more on the environmental end of things. And so all of a sudden, and not to do anything about the environment, but to push socialist causes. And that's what's really going on with the whole climate change issue. The government, you know, they tell us we're going to be paying a carbon tax. It's not a carbon tax, it's just a provincial tax. Carbon is just the fiction story, it's the Santa Claus story that they get us all to believe so that we will go along with it all. But that's not going to solve the carbon issue. The CO2, by the way, is not a pollutant. It's the gas of life. You know, I talked to Lawrence Solomon about that at the National Post quite frequently, and that's his favorite term for that. And
Climate change is the topic at the First Minister's meeting today with the Prime Minister. It's taking up a lot of time. Donald Trump, it seems to me that whatever we do about climate change, unless the rest of the world went along with it, if it was real, which you do not believe,
climate change is real, but the climate change is constant. It's constant,
right.
constant.
But if we could fight it, if we could repair it.
Why would you want to?
Well, my question is, if we were going to, in a different world, if the rest of the world isn't anyway, it seems futile. Like, I mean, if we're not all on the same page, what's the point
Even
of
if
all
we
this
were
going
all on?
On
the same page, you know, we could explode every nuclear bomb on the face of the planet and we wouldn't affect the climate. You know,
we wouldn't care.
Well,
yeah, we'd all be dead.
Yes.
Not necessarily. You'd be surprised. But this is what I fear in the future is, you know, limited nuclear issues, and especially overseas. But the issue is that you can't, we as human beings cannot affect the climate the way we think we can. We can affect the weather in a local area. This has been done just by planting trees, taking trees down, things like that. Those have been known methods for centuries. But to actually talk about carbon dioxide and to suggest that you can... You see, the problem with carbon dioxide is that carbon dioxide is the product of heat. When you breathe out, you're breathing out carbon dioxide. Mm-hmm. When we produce or create products in a factory, we're creating carbon dioxide because heat is the product, or carbon dioxide is a byproduct of heat. And so what the attack really is against production. And all these trades in carbon taxes and things like that are about distributing our wealth around the world and not letting us keep the wealth. So what we do is we trade carbon. It's an artificial market. It's not real. I can't see it lasting too long. It has to just last as long as, I guess, the next government or two. And then everybody will look back on this and we'll laugh at the whole deal.
We have to leave it there for today, but I predict we will have you back. Bob Metz, the president of the Freedom Party of Ontario, it's been great having you here.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Thank you so much, and we'll get your news next with Lorena Dixon.